Good evening, everybody.
Hello, we're back.
We are indeed back. We're back on our regular stream schedule. I know some people have worried a little bit, but we are back to doing two streams a week. I'm surprised we've managed to keep this up for so long, with how little time
Well,
we
yeah,
sometimes have.
I think sometimes we forget the fact that maybe it's not the worst idea to have a break every once in a while. We can't just provide excellent content basically for free 2 times a week, like 50 weeks a year. We've got to tease the folk a little bit.
Also, we just get busy as well. The Substack has been suffering a little bit, also because I had to withdraw a couple of pieces because of the cancellations. But we addressed that last week, so I'll not go over other ground. I'll just have a bit of a waffle while people filter in. Somebody in chat already donated us 99 cents, so thank you. Hello, hello to hello. They're just called hello, so
Hello.
hello. Benjamin Fick also asked the best way to support us without people taking a big cut. It's a PayPal at the moment because I can't seem to get anything else working satisfactorily. I'll probably find something at some
But
point.
there's, of
Yeah.
course, super chats and super stickers and the Substack, which seems to be the option some people seem to be choosing here and there. So consider any, really.
Yeah, the.
However, to be fair, the PayPal stuff means we don't get as much taken off us, which is also quite nice.
Yeah, there will be more stuff on the Substack at some point. I just between researching all these streams, I like to research ahead as well, just to make sure we've got stuff to talk about in the future.
Well, I think part of the thing just with the streams as well is we don't like just putting stuff out for the sake of it. There has to be a bit of a point to it. We would rather not just, people only have so much time in a day. They're going to set aside time to watch our stuff or read it. It might as well be worthwhile at their time.
Yeah, it's we try and make sure we're not just streaming for streaming's sake. I promised last week and this week I actually will remember to thank our members. We do have memberships, like you mentioned. We are still fully monetized, and it does help if people interact with the videos. We'll probably shill again near the end, but I just wanted to quickly thank all of our members because it's grown a little bit over the past couple months. So thank you, Windtalker. You've been a member for 25 months. Good,
He the real OG.
you are actually the real OG. Tank Imperator, Sock Addict, HK9410. I see you watching the VODs. I know you like to catch them live. J Mary, S Smith, The Halfling, Not Sure, RB, GC Mitch, John Morton, Krillon. Anthony Keane, David Stafford, Salad Fork with an O, Filled Soda, C. Wilson, and our newest member, Promethean Healing. Thank you for that. It does all add up, and it does mean that. Yep, I see you guys in chat. It does mean that we have some reliable, if minor, with after
I
YouTube's
see.
cut
I
income.
see Jane chat is already getting to the very pertinent questions. Can you do a stream explaining why strippers black?
Something to do with a grocery store and never coming back. Something fatherless rates. I don't know.
Anyway,
Never fails.
basically
Greetings.
this evening I suppose we're doing a little bit of a follow on to Monday's stream, whilst also being partially an interlude between Monday's stream and stuff for next week,
Yeah.
and also a follow-up on some digital currency stuff. Because we've kind of got to a point, and like I've said this before a few times, where we've looked at some of these elements intently enough that we can now actually track their progress almost in real time as they're being implemented.
Yes, a lot of the stuff that we predicted 2 years ago at this point, as we can see by the fact that we have, 24-month plus members now. That's 2 years since we were able to turn memberships on, good Lord. But a lot of the stuff we talked about back then in some of our original kind of finance and econ streams are really beginning to bear fruit, and in the way that we predicted. But it's not hard when essentially, a lot of people are telegraphing their attacks, let's say. It's very obvious from their own rhetoric what's going on. And I do find it very frustrating when you get large amounts of people who quibble about some of the finer points of it whilst sometimes missing the point. But I'm not here to complain about people since, quite honestly, there's not much out there that addresses things like direct government support in a meaningful way, it's something that's become a something that's become a trend within Western nations, really, and it's just kind of snuck up on us.
Yeah,
is the issue. It's something that we are beginning to take for granted. It's become the background noise. There's other more slightly conspiratorial or slightly more headline grabbing or conspiracy jacketed, I should say, things take away some of the oxygen of talking about kind of the basic relationship between the money printer and the money printed recipients.
I was going to say, I think people think our stuff is blackpilling because we don't sensationalize the aspects that you're supposed to and just drill down into like the raw technical detail.
Yeah.
And before we get started on, we've got Edward Collins now who's decided to become a member, and also Benjamin Fick. Is that Fick?
Yes.
And that's what I have to do until I get my PayPal back up. Found you guys through A and I want to watch your stuff. When has now, great research, funny shit and more streams despite the black pills. Love it. Good to hear.
I'm glad you guys are surviving the onslaught of reality.
Well, as one Hector Drummond decided to suggest on Twitter, I'm now the black pill dinner lady.
Yeah, so the black pill fairy. You are the dispenser of fine edible black capsules, yes. dear. But we have a little bit to cover here in probably a relatively condensed format. So the first puzzle piece, really, is the burgeoning direct relationship between the central bank and the consumer.
Yes.
Long has the Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, and all these central bankers wondered how they can essentially become the everyday bank of choice of the individual. They have always needed that layer of the banking sector below them. And those inconvenient middlemen who do, so that things like create financial products.
So that we can pretend it isn't just the bank.
The bank. Bank dot bank.
Bank of money.
Yeah, bank of money. National Bank of Money. Can I have money, please? Yeah, it's in the bank. Which bank? The bank.
The National Bank of Monies.
we'll not start a phone jacker posting quite yet. This is something I just found incidentally during my research for this stream, and I think it fits in quite well because it's a great piece from the Financial Times by a guy called Edward Prasad.
Eswar Prasad.
I'm anglicising the pulpit.
Well, yeah, because you've got here, the writer is a professor at Cornell University, senior fellow at Brookings and author of The Future of Money.
And we found ourselves another Brookings alumni. Well, do you want to read out the quick Brookings blurb that we have there?
Well, we can, of course, but there's also some personal stuff from how I quickly found in his Wikipedia.
Oh, really? Okay.
2017, the Brookings Institute had assets of $542 million. Its largest contributors include the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, the Hutchins Family Foundation, J.P. Morgan Chase, the Lego Foundation, David Rubenstein, Chairman of the Council of Foreign Relations, of course, and the State of Qatar.
So, yeah, it's as you read this, do be reminded that this man is quite literally funded by the Gates Foundation, the Council of Foreign Relations, and just the state of Qatar.
Prasad is a former chief of the Financial Studies Division at the IMF and was also head of the IMF's China Division.
We're in peak globalist Brahmin territory now. You don't get more globalist Brahmin than this. Oh, dear me. I like the money. No, it's him going around and saying retail demand is still scant. So how is it inevitable if retail demand...
Oh, yeah, if we got the first
careful
paragraph...
Careful design
here.
Can take advantage of their merits. Yeah, here's the National Bank...
The E-Naira.
The National Bank of Nigeria, with the E-Naira being tested out by all the big globos rubbing their hands
Nigerian
together.
President Muhammadu Buhari and Central Bank Governor Godwin Emefiele...
Launched the E-Naira in 2021.
But I think if I remember correctly, the first paragraph in this article was like, well, with the demand for money plummeting, as the use of cash plunges around the world, nudge units in control.
Yeah, that's very big nudge units. Like we limited supply.
There's an element.
And we made stores not take cash anymore.
Yeah, there's an element of this as well that if any of the very clever and special people who've decided to subscribe to the Substack and read my propaganda piece from Wetam will know,
yeah.
There is a great effort by Western governments to basically move us in line with the digitization that's happened in the developing world. Mm. And they've been able to bring that there because, as they even mention in this article, Nigeria didn't have SWIFT.
Yeah.
It didn't even have MasterCard or Visa. They went from like clamshells to probably old British coins used by the people who can count,
yeah,
to CBDC.
Yeah.
And, you know, China's done the same. There was no SWIFT, there was no credit cards. They've kind of gone straight from yuan, renminbi into CCP, fun money,
on your
social
phone,
credit
yeah.
score, WeChat money.
That there was no intermediate stage there because they didn't really need to be. They didn't have the illusion of a consumer base. They just consumed what they were given.
Well, and so far as that's happened, there is now a move by Western governments to move us along in pace with them. And they go and say, you know, oh, the success of the system in India, the success of the system in China, the success of the system in Nigeria shows that Western governments have to follow along.
Yes. Quick note from JD there for the £2. Thank you for that. It says shared ownership schemes will be a nightmare soon. I believe they already are, but that's kind of by the by. There's a lot of very weird financial products coming out in terms of divide like timeshares on cars and things like that are a very very big thing as people can't afford transport.
Yeah, Thomas Cross in the chat. It's same with similar. Similar to Eastern Europe with their internet infrastructure, is the reason why Ukraine was trialing a UBI digital ID system in like as early as 2019.
Yeah. Most central banks are bowing to this reality, further experimenting with or preparing the ground for central bank digital currencies as instruments for broadening financial access. Increasing payment system resilience and ensuring monetary sovereignty, even as these digital tokens gain momentum. However, the case for them has weakened. What has changed? In the first place, the landscape looks less promising in practice than it did in theory a couple of years ago. China, Brazil, and India are undertaking trials, but face scant demand for their central bank digital currencies, as they already have excellent digital pay. Yeah, a lot of people from a naive point of view go, well, money is already digital.
Yes.
What's the difference? And trying to explain to people the difference between the fig leaf of a transfer system and actually just central bank fund boxes is quite difficult.
Someone in chat's basically saying the same thing. We've been cashless for years. No, of course we have. And that's the point that we have made and will continue to make, is that
yes.
This is sort of an officiation and recognition of a truth that some of us have known for years, which is that they're just making the numbers up on spreadsheets.
Yeah.
But in doing so now, you won't even have to play to the illusion that you have access to cash that is worth something. I mean, that's what they go on to say here.
Yeah.
Talk about the one in Sweden not really working because no one sees a need for an e-krona yet.
Yeah.
Nigeria's e-naira has been a flop, although recent cash shortages have increased its usage. Yeah, so what happens is you just stop printing physical money or minting physical coins, and then people have to use it anyway because it would starve otherwise.
They talk about the failure of Silicon Valley Bank, which is something we talked about Monday.
The interesting thing with Silicon Valley Bank, though, is they're using this as a roundabout way to talk about deposit limits, how CBDCs need to be managed inside the wallet, as if to pretend they are actually a thing and not just a data value on like your spreadsheet and your social credit score that says you're worth this much money.
That's the spirit of theory. Here we go. Built on legitimate concerns about the privacy implications of central bank digital currencies. Far-sighted Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has preemptively banned the use of as yet non-existent digital dollars in his state. Good luck with that.
Well, I can't remember exactly what paragraph is next after this.
Yeah.
But they talk about the fact that, the privacy concerns can be gotten rid of because the FedNow system will require you to prove who you are to spend the money. So, well, no, that doesn't mean there's no privacy issue. That just means you put the privacy issue on another provider.
Yeah, you've already created the privacy issue with the instant payment system that supposedly the US already has, or this is supposedly just a different version of what's been there all along. That's how they've been advertising it. But yeah, they basically will make you have to tie your ID to the FedNow system. That's something we'll talk about near the end of this.
Yeah, still a well-designed CBDC would play an incremental role in catalyzing payments innovation. Other advantages, such as the ability to facilitate payments using near-field communication, even when cellular and wireless networks are down, could also be played up. Oh, so you can't actually get away from the internet.
No, basically. Talks about design choices, technology, cryptographic. This whole thing is basically just a hand tip that crypto was training for central bank digital currencies.
Yes, which is, of course, something we've been saying for quite a while.
All of you people who had your crypto fund books are the ones who have provided the manufactured consent for people to talk about peer-to-peer money controlled by a central bank being inevitable. It is your fault.
Yes.
You have done this, and when it happens, it will be blamed on you. And you'll have to pretend that you never spent your stimmies on your internet monies.
Yeah.
Because people will actually hate you.
The notion that a successful digital renminbi would set a global standard and shake the dollar's dominance is far-fetched. The US has made its potential CBDC design available as open source code, and it is unlikely any significant country will adopt the digital renminbi's architecture simply because it was ahead in the game.
This is also just like them talking about hegemony and being like, it doesn't matter if you're first, the US is bigger.
Yeah, I mean, Jacob Brown in chat there, it'd be interesting to see someone work on parallel money and trade systems that use commodities to counter this. I mean, yes, but like, let's not fantasize at the end of the day. We do not know enough people with enough clout to start, you know, some alternate multi-billion-dollar gold market for all the commodities required to make modern living comfortable. It's just not going to happen.
No.
And if it did happen, we'd all get shot.
Well, there are things you can barter with in the real world. They just exist on the black market.
Yeah, go do it with like people locally in your own community. Don't organize it online where people can see that you're doing it.
Well, it goes on to say about retail stuff. Retail CBDCs do have a venture for cash, broadening the tax base. Harriet Tubman in complete control. And limiting the use of central bank money for illicit activities. There we go. We're hitting crime in the cashless society there.
Even over private digital payment systems. Also those really cleverly encrypted peer-to-peer Bitcoin trading platforms.
Yeah.
Lower cost, easier access, interoperability across platforms, CBDCs might be inevitable as cash disappears.
Where?
The central banks need to structure them to make them worthwhile and leave
well,
the design.
If there's low retail demand for central bank digital currencies, why would cash disappear?
That's a very interesting question you've asked there.
Anyway, this is the background that what we are dubbing the People's Bailout, the direct support initiatives, are coming against. Sorry, I'll make sure I've got the notes up as well. The big thing that really tipped me off that this is happening right now is the fact that, one, a Labour government is being cycled in. Anyone who is in denial about that is in denial about reality. Starmer is coming. He is the next Prime Minister. The script is written. The policy is on rails. They're coming. The Blairites are back in complete control.
Yes, mortgage guarantee schemes.
The whole, one of the big ideas, and it's elucidated in the second article we'll go through here from Labour List, is that Labour is promoting mortgage guarantee schemes that are government mortgage guarantee schemes. So basically, the people's bailout. This is how the sausage will be made. Labour Party's housing spokesman Lisa Nandy, that's funny considering the weird stuff they went through, the gender stuff, has promoted plans for a mortgage guarantee scheme similar to Help to Buy. Based on the party's rhetoric, it seems the scheme, which was first introduced last September, will reserve just for first-time buyers and would likely exclude buy-to-let landlords and second homeowners. A video released by Lisa Nandy on Twitter, a renter said, "My experience of renting hasn't been good, like everyone else experienced the same things, kinds of rogue landlords and rogue agents. I would support Labour's plans to encourage mortgage guarantee schemes, as most private renters in London are now paying rent that would cover a mortgage." So they'll just be like, well, We'll just switch you over. Labour, basically, it's a puff piece about the fact that they're going to centrally plan and centrally support the mortgage market directly with guarantees of your payments.
Or the Department of Housing will really do what it says in the tin.
Yeah, it will actually become the Department of Housing. But there's a very drooling article here. You can feel Labour salivating, in the words of Tom Belger here. Soaring mortgage costs may win Labour more votes than its housing policies. A great little hands tip that creating strife is a great way to manipulate certain political responses in a democracy. Why would people create a crisis in a democracy? This is why. This is exactly why. And I'm glad we've gone basically through the training, as it were, to drum people out of the idea of an organically elected and emergent political class. It's just amazing that they're saying it, but it's just like, yes, there will be a crisis. We will take advantage of it. It is already benefiting us. This is how Labour thinks, because they are, much like the Conservatives are, a party of power.
Yes.
And they are now in the ascendancy because that is what is in the script. Labour goes on the offensive today over housing, releasing new analysis suggesting children born this year have a 1 in 3 chance of home ownership. Is that like rolling a dice? Do they get like a critical for anyway? When they reach 50, not content with being the party of business and take back control. These are both the New Britain slogans, by the way. Now Labour is pinching another Tory slogan, becoming proudly the party of home ownership.
Shadow levelling up. And Housing Secretary Lisa Nandy has reiterated its plans to make 1.5 million more people new homeowners. What, by bringing in another 1.5 million people?
What if those people don't want to be homeowners?
Exactly. What if they enjoy being homeless and they like the spikes? Give first-time buyers a comprehensive mortgage guarantee scheme and first dibs on local new homes, further inflating prices and perpetuating the crisis.
Yeah, basically. And it's also, as we'll get into, interoperable with their minimum infrastructure guarantee and housing as a human right and all that. What does it say? Mortgage costs are a bigger risk to Tories than Labour attacks.
Yeah, housing issues well beyond Labour's control may prove far more damaging to the Conservatives' prospects the next election. Inflation figures were higher than expected last week, double digits in Western Europe. That's not just bad news for the cost of living crisis and government's key pledge to halve inflation, but it also means interest rates will likely rise further. Get it up, yous.
Well, it basically just goes through Scotland selection strikes and reshuffle rumours. They basically, no, I will not send to the Labour list. It's also an important day for the wider Labour movement, national education, picket, they join the picket lines. Basically, what they're saying is that we are going to tell people we're basically going to give them houses and that will win us votes. That's what this is. This is them talking about the people's bailout. This is them talking about not bailing out your mortgage provider, but bailing out your mortgage. That is what is between the line. Well, not even between. That is what is in the lines of these policies. They're just talking about it. They're just talking about direct support for bad lending at the consumer side. And if you know anything about economics, that should make you sweat, because you know where all this is leading. But here's another one.
This is the one that caught me the other day. This is like proper, you know, we're not just throwing wood onto the fire. We're throwing, like, the kerosene, the cordite, and everything else we've got that's flammable.
This is basically them admitting that they are crashing the housing market.
Yeah, that's what
with
this
no
read
survivors.
To me. When they're like, oh, UK mortgage lender offer first 100% loans since 2008 crisis. It's like, well, that obviously can't be, because they're saying that because they know those mortgages caused the 2008 crisis. But maybe they do.
Maybe they do. It's just the wording here. Skipton Building Society aims product at renters who cannot save enough for a deposit. It's the whole thing in that inflation has become so bad and the Kenton effect has affected property so much because it's seen as a safe haven for capital that the housing market has just actually ground to a complete halt in terms of people finding housing.
We should read some of the bits in this because some of these are hilarious.
Which is a good bit then?
A lending leader plans to launch a 100% mortgage aimed at would-be first-time buyers who cannot save for a deposit, the first time since the 2008 financial crisis. Standard home loans where the borrower does not have to put down a deposit used to be fairly commonplace, but the last was axed in the wake of the financial crisis. Fairly commonplace.
Where? Who? How? When? Well, the thing is, this is interoperable with the mortgage guarantee scheme. This is the 1-2 punch.
Yeah. However, Skipton Building Society is getting ready to launch a mortgage targeting those trapped in rental cycles and who do not have the access to the bank of mum and dad. Is that they're trying to play this off as, again, as a labourite working class kind of thing?
Yeah, they're really trying to play this off as the idea.
And so are therefore unable to save up enough for a home deposit. Let's get you off the rental cycle and onto the mortgage payment cycle.
Yeah, well, the problem is if you can't pay your rent, you know, you get evicted. But if you can't pay your mortgage, they take your house away. It's a lot more serious. This is where there's a difference. Well,
you can be kicked out of a house that you are not paying the mortgage on, but pretty much if you've got children, you can't be kicked out of a rental property. Not at least for about 6 months.
The big thing here, though, is like I said, that the point that you will have people taking out government-backed 100% mortgages.
Precise details of how the deal will work will have yet to emerge, but according to a report in the Times, the new product will be available up to 100%, and borrowers will need to demonstrate a history of paying rent comparable to mortgage repayments for up to 2 years. With the deal fixed for more than 2 years to guard against the risk of falling into negative equity.
So all they need to do is have paid rent for 2 years, and it's only fixed for 2 years. That's it.
Yeah.
So after 2 years, if there is, you know, if you take this out at a low point of interest rates, and interest rates to halt the charge of inflation have to go up to say 7-8%, you are just done. You are quite literally on the street, and that is when the government steps in.
Yeah, such a mortgage would differ from other niche products available that let people borrow up to 100% of the purchase price. I thought those were normal. I thought those were standard, Guardian writer. But involve a family member providing financial help of some sort, like guarantors. Yeah, well, they're basically saying there's when people pay for the deposits for their kids' house and stuff like that. I don't know if there's anything more interesting.
Well, they talk about, you know, uncertainty, responsible lending, the resurrection of help to buy, and they're really just mutating help to buy into mortgage guarantee schemes.
Mm.
The last UK lender... Last Friday, figures were issued indicating that new first-time buyers are typically paying £191 a month more on their mortgage than a year ago because of the combination of higher home loan rates and record asking prices for properties.
Look at the one just above that, though.
Yeah.
The most notorious 100% plus mortgage was Northern Rock's Together Home Loan, which allowed people to borrow up to 125% of a property's value and was withdrawn from sale in 2008. Where's Northern Rock nowadays?
Yeah, they got taken over by the government because they fucking failed. It is. It's a time bomb. There's a reason that this is considered.
125 here sounds ridiculous, but imagine you bought a house in the 80s. You paid your mortgage off, you know, you paid 85% of your mortgage off between 1980 and 2000.
Yeah.
You remortgaged your house in 2000.
Mm.
And then you, from, you know, 2000 to 2015, you paid it off again. And in 2015 afterwards, you wanted to do equity release.
Yeah,
you'd be doing, you know, that house, let's say, has gone from 150 to £600,000, and you've borrowed the original £150,000, what, like 4 or 5 times?
Yeah, basically. That is the trajectory, and that is why they always try and make sure that the house prices are going up, because you have to keep putting air in the balloon, basically.
Mm.
You cannot have deflation of any kind. It becomes disastrous in that system. But there's a, another piece of the puzzle here is the fact that UK household debt has swollen past $2 trillion for the first time ever.
£2 trillion,
sorry. I'm used to dealing with the evil reserve currency from the evil empire. But family debt has swelled past $2 trillion for the first time ever in a sign Brits are whipping out their credit cards to fund spending amid the cost of living crunch, new research yesterday reveals. Well, money isn't worth what it was, true, but there's also just this huge background.
Yeah, look at the...
Yeah.
Around 8 in every £10 of outstanding debt is tied to home purchases. That's the mortgages.
Yep.
Unsecured lending, which typically carries higher interest rates due to banks' worries about not being able to seize assets or to reclaim their money if borrowers default, has climbed up more than 7% over the last year. So not only do we have more debt, we have more risky debt.
Yeah, more unsecured debt. But yeah, 80% of debt in the UK is tied to home purchase, which is why the kind of mortgage guarantee scheme will be the most effective way of cajoling people into accepting government assistance, most likely in the guise of a central bank digital currency that will have at some point some form of like social credit attached to it.
But as you go on to note here, this is exactly like bloody George Bush and the government, well, American government did back in like 2002.
As was kind of hinted at in the Guardian article there, irresponsible lending and risky debt is being advertised as the only equitable choice for allowing home ownership.
I mean,
a credit crisis is being justified on the moral imperative to lend money to people who can't repay it back. It's the same thing that Bush Jr. did in 2002. Yeah. And the word minorities appears 24 times in kind of the American homeowners, all that stuff we talked about previously, all the legislation he brought in to overcook the US housing market was all predicated on the idea of minority-owned homes. I mean,
you're always searched in the wrong tab when you're doing that.
Anyway, minority yeah. homeowners.
No,
minority families.
Well, the overall homeownership rate has reached an all-time high of nearly 68%. The statistics show a clear and persistent homeownership gap. The African American homeownership rate was 27.5% points below the white rate.
We have to close the housing gap for people who have poor credit ratings. Despite the increase in minority, yeah, it's according to the HUD, as we talked about before, in 1994, the minority home ownership rate, I'm rereading that one.
Lack of access to affordable mortgage credit, a lack of understanding of the home buying process, weak credit histories, often arising from a poor understanding of financial matters and where financial counseling is required.
They can't handle their money. Can't build it, can't maintain it, can't finance it.
Can't communicate it.
It turns out that the idea of finance is also incommunicable. But yeah, that this is exactly the same conditions that led to the 2008 crisis.
I mean, this is the same stuff we saw as well when we looked at the Infinite Council House scheme in London. You know, this is what Sadiq Khan and all these people were putting forward, this notion that, well, we've got to subsidise housing for brown people to make it equitable, so we make white people's housing costs higher.
There's the other one here, which is the unspoken fact about all of this is that it's already been trialled. The idea of direct support to consumers via the government, not even with an intermediary, that they will use fintech, there will be apps, there will be lots of public-private partnership stuff like there was with Serco during the lockdowns.
But I did own a house this morning.
But I did. Oh, no. That's pretty good. All of this has been tried during the exceptional circumstances.
Yes.
As we talked about last week, the exception becoming the norm is a huge feature of how the ratchet is turned.
As you mentioned as well, there was all the stimmy checks in America that came to, like, what was that, $5 trillion or something.
This is like a time capture. This is from December 2020, just as Christmas was cancelled. Furlough extension buys time as vaccine rollout. When they were pushing this ticking time bomb, just get us over, just get us to the vaccine. The vaccine will bring back normality. It looks bizarre. It's good old Faisal.
Fucking Faisal Islam.
The furlough scheme has been extended again. And here's just the ballooning of the cost. The furlough scheme has cost $46.4 billion to date. And it was extended well into 2021. I believe it was over $100 billion in the end.
This is something that will forever grind it makes me like hateful, because I know there are millions of people up and down the country that were basically paid 3/4 of their full-time working wage to be off work for 18 months, and they just sat there and pretended it was okay.
Yeah,
if you ever needed any more reason to believe that the masses are passive and will engage in suicidal behaviour when they should otherwise know better, because that's what they've been told to do, look no further.
Well, a lot of people will be like, oh no, people just won't accept if you give everyone $1 million, they'll think something's up, you know. But surely they would realize. Surely they would realize they're going to be put in a hyperinflation situation. But if you talk to people who were on a furlough, and you're like, you know, this is your fault, right? You sat there, you didn't work, you took free printed money,
spent all on shite.
Yeah, and now everything costs more.
You clarnered it all.
Because you quite literally do not understand the example of Weimar Germany that was sold to you like a primary school child with a crayon drawing. Even that is too complex for people in the moment of exception.
Yeah, JD in chat, my formal education ended around 1920. I struggled badly. I basically had to go freelance. I mean, I basically the same myself. My degree finished across 2020, 2021. My job that I was in at the end, or the start of 2020, decided to get rid of me 2 months before furlough, which meant I didn't meet that. So there was no jobs going. There was not a single scheme I could claim money off. And the degree I had basically became worthless because we don't have professional careers in Britain anymore.
Well, you're right. It's just a signal that when all this comes, people will eat it up. There is, no matter how obvious it is, no matter how cartoonish it is, no matter how silly it looks, no matter how much people should know better, they do not. Because the masses are passive and they will simply eat what is put in front of them.
Yep.
They do not think outside of the moment, especially if there is a situation of exception. There is massive evidence of this. And the $5 trillion US pandemic stimulus is one of the greatest worked examples. They just gave them all checks. They gave them all $100 to fuck off, and nothing happened.
And there were still riots now, pillaging basically. They gave them the free Air Jordans, and they still burst the shop windows and went in and stole them.
Yeah. They you give them free Air Jordans, and they'll just think you're good for another pair.
Oh no, that's it. Somebody go and tweet that.
$108 trillion individuals and families, including the lesser spoken part, was the whole thing that you could just get quote unquote unemployment insurance and unemployment benefits, no questions asked. That was much bigger than the stimulus checks. That was really the equivalent of the US furlough scheme, that you could just claim unemployment, get unemployment, and it would just keep going.
There's something in chat. Trudeau paid me $50,000 to take a year and a half off work. Fucking seething. I'm coming to rob your house.
That's 50,000 Canadian dollars.
Still more bloody money, and I was paid not to work.
Oh dear, it's not Canadian fun box, but still, yes. And that, again, at least most people who would be watching this are intelligent enough to realize, one, Bitcoin isn't going to save them, although I see somebody, and two, that the printed money they were given is the poison that has completely choked the economies.
No, exactly, they know.
It's about £12.50.
I'm still better, because everyone else got to enjoy themselves. And
I didn't. I was self-employed at the time. This is the U.S. Government Accountability Office saying you could be owed... I thought this was a scam at first, but it's a proper .gov. This feels like one of those, have you taken out, you know, finance in the last 3 years that had insurance? You could be owed money from PPI. This is basically the U.S. government doing its own, you're owed PPI thing. I mostly got that because of this. the fucking bacteria Benjamin. Oh, dear me. As most people have seen, we are deep into both New Britain and Numerica territory here. I'll do a quick New Britain when we get there, though, because we're getting even further. We're going to the source again, as people have expected us to. But yeah, they're still handing out stimulus checks to people from COVID, because apparently that can be backdated. And they're also just still handing out stimulus checks.
They're calling it like inflation relief, and it's now an act being taken on not by the federal government but by state governments.
The idea of the stimulus was so popular, so successful, and was so well received that many states are rebranding their normal tax relief, because they were identifying tax rises due to inflation and, you know, people having higher fees on goods. They said it wasn't justifiable. In some places, it's quite a low amount of money. It varies by states. Massachusetts and California, I believe, it is just eligible taxpayers, but in other places, then, like I said, it does vary state by state. But the most important part of this is actually not what it is, it's how they are branding it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not it is a stimulus check, it is being branded a stimulus check. Because the idea of the stimulus check from the federal government has been normalized within US culture to the point that it has become a shorthand for this kind of direct handout from almost like a god hand of money without the intermediary. It's something that's supposed to be against the quote-unquote American spirit, but every time we see it trotted out, they are the most susceptible to the gibes. It's not even just the welfare state, it's the federal welfare state. It's not even just that, they aren't getting welfare, it's just the idea that there is going to be a hand that gives you free money. It's both training for like this continuous bailout process, and also the unspoken gremlin in the corner is UBI, which I promise we will tackle properly in a stream in a way that you may not have thought of. So don't worry, we are not glossing over UBI, we just have future content geared towards it. And again, inflation relief checks 2023. How many states will send stimulus checks? I believe it is, Texas, Florida, Georgia, however this change is as inflation continues. It's basically a lot of the larger states.
Scroll back up for a second.
Yeah. Colorado, Maryland.
Yeah, just additional support is what they're calling it.
Yeah, it's
entitlements. I mean, that's the Gottfried sort of way of looking at it that he always said. I think it's entitlement's probably a good word for it, because it puts forward that idea that this is not something you earn, this is something you are owed.
Well, I said a lot of it is just tax relief. It is just slightly enhanced rebates.
Mm.
This has been going on for quite a long time. They did it a lot in the 80s, I believe, as well. But like I said, the main point here is the normalization of the stimulus from the government to the individual, and the fact that it is being called a stimulus, just like it was called a stimulus in 2008. They really are playing the game of, we bailed out the bankers last time, this time we're bailing out you.
What a shame here in the UK, because they're now framing it as cost of living support, it's an energy price guarantee, it's a home support fund or child benefit, as has been known for many, many years.
Yeah. Or universal credit, a complete nod.
Yes.
But the energy price guarantee scheme has been extended for an extra 3 months. There's also the cost of living payments too. It's something that comes from both angles, though, because it's a very patronizing article for the BBC, which is energy prices. Why are power bills going up? And it basically explains the fact that the UK government has not only firehosed money into the energy providers at the market level to keep certain rates capped in terms of gas prices, electricity prices, you know, kilowatt prices, but also done a double whammy of giving people the direct support as well. So bills will still increase, because the cap is staying the same in some places, but the relief is ending or is petering off.
Mm.
But it, it's it's this idea that they are doing both. They are bailing out both levels now. It's not just the people's bailout. It is the infinite bailout, the omni bailout. But what is different here is that this is being posited as a relational aspect of like the total state. That it is not, you know, Putin came in, he did a big fart in Ukraine, he's a big, mean, bad man, and he made all your energy bills go, but don't worry, the government's going to come in and give you, you know, free money that they totally, you know, they're totally not the ones who ruin the economy. And they're going to give you free money so you can have £300 off your now £3,000 a year energy bill.
Well, it goes to show as well that things have been put into such a bad situation that there couldn't actually, to some extent, be electricity profitably delivered to your home without the government both going in and out of everybody's pockets several times on the way there.
Yes.
It's been basically made logistically impossible unless it is sort of supported by all these different subsidies and structures and grants and funds and caps and this, that, and the next thing.
Oop, that one cut it off. It's just them going into the fact that, like I said, it's being supported by both angles. But here we are, folks. We've got here.
It's New Britain.
We found it, guys. We're back. It's New Britain. Bonkers bailout. British bailout. Starmer, Stormzy bailout Britain.
Bernanke bailout madness.
Has he got the big bazooka? You better bet he has. Ben Bernanke's British big bazooka. Transatlantic big bazooka bailout.
Big Barmy.
It's Barmy. Anyway, we're back at the New Britain Report, guys. It's finally happened. We're finally back here.
We're back.
Because it all comes back around. It all comes back around to housing. Here we are on page 73, or 72 in the report, because of the front page, and they don't like unnumbering stuff. But they talk about the new rights, the individual rights, and the fact that housing, and even potentially in relation to free healthcare services, that there will be these new social rights.
Or as part of your minimum infrastructure guarantee, you are subject to some standard of housing, which if you look further through this, of course, you don't find. You do not find anywhere, here's what we define as housing. Because if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, we're wrong.
Well, they talk about it here. They said housing. Every person shall be entitled to decent accommodation in accordance with the relevant law relating to housing and homelessness.
Now, is that relating law anywhere in this document?
No. It is both a blank check and a complete non-promise.
Yes.
It promises both everything and nothing. But what is contained in here is, as you keep pointing out, my favourite word, it is going to be arbitration between landlords and tenants.
Yes.
Between homeowners and lenders.
Well, they already say that somewhere else in relation to housing, is that they will reorientate planning permission both so that local governments can, I think they directly talk about reappropriating holiday homes and second homes to reinvigorate at the high street, but also in the same turn stepping in situations from a national government level when they feel housing is not being properly appropriated.
Compulsory purchase powers, here we go, to develop it's all vacant in that sites. One, I believe.
Now, look further, though. Local authorities should be able to regulate short-term lets and holiday homes, which can have a negative impact on the availability of housing, and they should not need central government permission to manage landlord licensing.
Managerialism writ large, but yeah. Good arguments can be made for extending social rights further to include, say, rights in relation to health, not simply healthcare, or to post-school education, or to guarantees about housing provision. So it's, as we talked about during our New Britain stream, go watch that if you've not seen it already, your rights will become entwined with the fact that you'll be guaranteed a dingy housing flat.
And we know as well from what they,
dingy council flat,
from the way they pulled the wool over people's eyes in Ireland, and I believe we talked about this as well, that this will first be offered to us. You know, we'll be rehousing homeless veterans. Yeah. We'll be rehousing white people. You know, and local, the guarantee housing will not go to like, those people in
like,
action.
Like they talked about during the on the Labour list, you know, local housing for local people, local guarantees, no more, you know, buy to let barons, no more foreign money. It's just all fake Syrians. It's all fake Syrians who are sub-Saharan blue black. But yes, the all of this is interoperable. You go from the quote unquote housing is a human right within the New Britain report to mortgage guarantees on 100% on and these new proposed 100% mortgages, and you see that what they're going to do is get everybody deliberately into horrible debt, pop the bubble, and swoop in to rescue you with as many strings attached as possible.
And completely reorientate the housing market in Britain even further.
Well, the big thing that we've tried to talk about, this is from 2021, I believe we talked about it pretty much at the time when this came out, but the Bank of England has talked openly about the idea of programmable digital currencies. It was contained in the FedNow stuff. It's going to be contained in some of the other stuff we talk about as we move into kind of the more digital currency aspect of this. But there is something that is going to happen in terms of the equivalent of housing food stamps.
Yes, it will be not necessarily in such a form, but every month you will be giving the appropriate housing credit for what the minimum infrastructure guarantee in your region says is appropriate. So for, you might get more in London than you would, say, in, I don't know, the middle of nowhere in Scotland. Because in theory, the housing is cheaper.
Or the suburbs of Birmingham, yeah.
Yes.
But you will end up... It's something that we talked about again during the Infinite Council State, in that housing benefit paid directly to landlords is the equivalent of this.
Yes.
They can ask for whatever they want, and they can hike rates, and some local authorities will just pay it.
Well, this is the circle thing with housing immigrants, is they're basically like, sign your property to us for a 5-year contract. We'll handle the business cost, any building costs, running costs, issues that need to be fixed. Say, for example, the occupants happen to rip up the floor and put a tandoori oven in. They'll cover
that. It's
more
common than I've heard about 15 different stories.
And they will
now
guarantee for 5 years that property is paid rent every week. And they'll do it on behalf of the immigrants for you, which basically means it's a direct payment from Serco, i.e. the government, to make sure that your property is occupied not by private individual buyers from the UK, but an asylee or an immigrant.
Well, this is the other end of the managerial kind of ultra-communist machine god that they are trying to assemble with this new digital system of management, that you will effectively be controlled in terms of what you can spend, but that is really, from their point of view, an inflation hedge.
Mm.
They're going to give you all the money, but you will not be able to spend any of it. It will, you know, you'll be given, you know, £1,000 a week, maybe even, if things get bad. And you will have maybe £100 of it to yourself.
Well, this is something that happened during World War II.
Mm.
Is that people, when they were working in some of the factory jobs that they'd basically been forced into through work orders, they were paid actually quite generous wages for the work they were doing, because no one really knew yet how to evaluate technical labour in that way. But what it meant is they had all this money to spend, all the resources were taken up in the war effort, so the price of cigarettes went up sixfold, the price of alcohol went up eightfold. Britain went from being a country that bought, you know, say, 2 or 3 million tons of tobacco a year to 12 or 15, because there was nothing to spend the money on. That's why there appeared to be very little inflation across that period. I think in future they will probably, as you say, continue to pull the wool over our eyes by giving you money that you either cannot spend or cannot spend on anything that really shows up in any meaningful sense. You will waste it on digital assets that basically mean the money disappears in an instant.
Well, we already have price controls. We already have energy sector price controls. Yeah. Price controls are already here. Direct government support is already here. All the things that we were told were unthinkable in a market economy have already happened on some scale. And most of them happened as a result of the exceptional circumstance of the lockdowns or what is effectively being posited as World War III in Ukraine. And people just have not acknowledged reality. If you were to talk to a mainstream Tory about these things and berate them about the fact that their party of choice has brought in price controls, direct consumer bailout support, and what is effectively a UBI system that is cobbled together, they would not recognise what you're saying.
I see Matt for life. And so what's the solution you could give to friends? Get yourself out of any debt that you can and mentally prepare yourself to possibly eat your neighbours. Learn how to be able to light a fire without accelerants.
The big thing really is to club together. It is to accumulate wealth in ways that cannot be taken away from you.
Mm.
Have as much equity in your property as possible if you are buying one. Do not extend yourself beyond your means. Do not take out large amounts of finance.
No.
This is the worst time to get into the money printer has not been turned off. We have a weird combination of massive QE still and also high interest rates, which even the mainstream economists...
We don't even really have high interest rates.
Okay, higher interest, yeah.
We are in the sort of liquidity trap aspect where, you know, you put the interest rates down so low that you go from 1% to 2% and your monthly payments double is the problem. But anyway, things might be too late anyway because the Fed Now payments are already here.
I love Fed Now because Fed Now is a great test for who is actually a dribbler.
Do you know what I love more than Fed Now, though? The Nation of Israel.
Yes, well, we'll take a moment to talk about our sponsor. Israel. Oh no. I think that's how we've got by this long. I think they just detect it. But yeah, Fed Now is totally not the payment system that the digital dollar will go through. Although it's a digital dollar, but not a digital dollar, because it's digital payments, but not a digital dollar, and it's a payment system, but it's not a seed. Basically, it's the best way I saw it explained is it's the fake ledger without the fake token, is what it is. It is the federal government going in and going, look at me, I am the payment processor now.
Yes.
And once everyone is taken off all the quote-unquote slow methods of payment and put onto the instantaneous money imagining out of nowhere system that's Fed Now, they can do what they want. As soon as, like, Stripe will have to use this, basically. PayPal yes. will have to use this. Everyone will be forced to use this because it is the Fed.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier on to you, is that we're only really a step away from this, you know, something like Fed Now being integrated into, let's say, PayPal, Klarna, Stripe.
Yeah.
There you go. You've got credit structure-based payment systems backed and running in tandem with a digital dollar.
Well, this is how they will do the people's bailout. This is how the direct relief will be distributed. It was a bit of a pain for them to do the stimmies, but this is the direct fire hose. This is just you hooked up to the Fed like a drip. Digital currency or no digital currency at this point, really, the difference is important, but also in terms of the power dynamics, it's immaterial.
Yes.
You will do what the Federal Reserve tells you to do, as the US population has done since its formation. There's this great... Well, aww. I found this, but you found all kinds of stuff. I'm just going to check. There's nothing we've...
Yeah, this is... Well, I'll maybe make one last point before we come to our crescendo for this evening. That, of course, the ploy is going to be something along the lines of the old way of doing finance, the old way of doing banking. That's what's got us here. So yeah. A digital system that's managed through cryptography and new technology and Web3 and NFT and digital ID, these are the solutions that will provide us an equitable market for food and housing and heating and travel and everything.
Yeah.
It's going to be the panacea magic thing that solves all problems.
Well, this is why Bitcoin will not save you, because the entire crypto blockchain industry is completely captured by the Federal Reserve through its use of easy money to fintech.
Well, let's read a bit of this and then we'll get to the writer of this article.
Anyway, what are the bits you want to read? Because this is... I'll let you have this one.
Yeah, up to this point, the movement of money from and across the US bank has been anything but swift. It can take multiple days for simple bank transactions to settle. Compare the subpar result to the daily consumer experiences with most fintech apps like PayPal, Cash App, or Bitcoin payments, which make such transactions nearly instant, and you'll see why America is in need of better banking payment solutions. FedNow is a bipartisan solution to modernize government payments. Yet reactions have been unfavorable, wrong, and weird. Misinformation and fear-mongering conversations about central bank digital currency boogeymen muddles the reality that the FedNow system is a viable and favorable option for fast bank-to-bank payments.
The FedNow system is not a digital currency and has nothing to do with CBDC. The first one is a misdirection. The second one is just a lie.
Yes.
This article is just lying. They will just lie to you.
It's quite the opposite. Improving the speed of retail bank payments through FedNow will instead significantly reduce the need for a CBDC in the United States. But it's like they're talking about the FedNow system, but clearly there's no physical dollars. There are no physical dollars involved in any end of this that are tallied up at any point.
Yeah. The birth of FedNow. As a Bitcoin advocate, Bitcoin consultant, and former federal regulator, this is why your Bitcoin is worthless.
Yes.
Because this is who is in control of your marketplace and representing your supposed movement. You are utterly captured and kneecapped by these people.
I am well aware. They rule you. Well aware of the transformational impact that real-time payments can have on households and businesses. Because, of course, when I hand you a fiver for £5 worth of goods, and you look at that note, you've got to sit there for, what, days before you realise it's a fiver? Weeks, maybe?
Yeah.
Consumers, businesses, financial institutions, and fintechs all want and expect real-time payments. So everybody wants it. Everyone wants it. They all want it now. So what's the problem? Why do you need to convince us?
Yeah.
The payment friction consumers experienced during the distribution of COVID-19 emergency relief payments again highlighted the need for a significant government technology upgrade. No, that's nothing to do with technology. That's you asking for an opt-out system as opposed to an opt-in.
Yes, basically.
But despite the last 14 years of incredible global payment innovations across the private sector, the most significant of these being the Bitcoin Monetary Network, the US federal government still had not launched its own comparable digital payment systems for the banking industry. Until now.
Again, the supposed crypto consultants will try and...
And then, of course, we've got some apt conspiracy theory jacketing with Robert F. Kennedy and DeSantis.
But where do you want to go with this then?
Well, maybe we'll just go to the last two paragraphs here. Most payments made in the United States rely on interbank payment services like ACH networks or wire transfer systems. As a result, the addition of the FedNow interbank settlement system will accelerate the vast majority of payments in the United States as per the Federal Reserve. A key benefit of a CBDC is to support faster and cheaper payments, which will now be achieved via the FedNow system, which really makes it sound like a CBDC. Plus, having spent nearly six of my 15-year banking career at the Federal Reserve Board of Governors in a bank supervision audit capacity, it's also clear that many politicians have severely underestimated the legal, compliance, financial technology, and regulatory administrative burden required to launch a central bank digital currency in the United States, not to mention the onslaught of congressional hearings and the passage of a specific CBDC law that would be required for a digital dollar to go live. And I presume the writer, of course, of this article would be the first person to go to if we needed such consulting.
Yeah, yeah.
The continued success of FedNow will help ensure that we don't have to go down that CBDC road. Anyway, we'll go to the next paragraph.
But Brookings told me it was inevitable.
Yes, but it's all right, we'll go to the next paragraph where the really good stuff comes.
Yeah.
Charlene Federipo is a financial empowerment speaker, a Bitcoin activist, and former US regulator with 15 years of experience in the traditional finance world. As CEO of her digital assets consulting firm, Mango Digital Industries, which I actually haven't looked at yet because just in looking at her Twitter, I found enough embarrassing stuff already. Charlene helps global financial service organizations future-proof their growth through cryptocurrency. Prior to founding Mango Digital Strategies, Charlene held financial analysis roles at Citigroup, who we know are dodgy as all hell, and yeah. BlackRock, and Cherokee Investment Partners, who knows who they are. Senior consultant bank regulation at PwC, led bank supervision policy audits at the Fed, creator of the Bitcoin Education podcast and the Bitcoin in Africa show.
Bitcoin in Africa. It just keeps going. But do you want to go to the Twitter now?
Yeah, well, it's just the butt of the joke here is just this. You just zoom in and we just leave this on screen for And then some of our amazing pieces of writing, of course, because I'm sure all
Bitcoin, on CoinDesk.
I'm sure all Bitcoin people would agree with this one. Why Bitcoin is a tool for social justice. Now, I can actually read this on my phone, so I would like to just see like the last two concluding paragraphs.
Bitcoin offers immigrant, Black, Indigenous, LGBTQ+, and other communities the promise of a more equitable financial system. Again, this is where your digital fund box are going, guys. I'm sorry, they've actually just taken it off you and given it to DMV Shaniqua. And you're not going to be able to get anything because she's going to be on break. Let's close the black wealth gap.
Support. So it's George Bush policy.
Yeah, empowering first generation. Basically, it is. It's Bitcoin being used for like Bush era housing policy. LGBTQ, domestic violence survivors, conclusion.
Bitcoin has opened an escape hatch for a generation of marginalized Americans and made them excited about saving and investing. Ah, that's good. They're not going to rebel because of social oppression.
Here we go.
They're going to become good capitalists.
But poor regulation could force Bitcoin services to resemble our legacy financial system. As of writing, US Bitcoin exchanges require users to meet the same requirements as banks. Their users must have bank accounts or debit cards, and they must rigorously collect customer information, undermining benefits for marginalized groups. We believe Bitcoin must be part of the future education curriculum so all communities can prosper in the next... Why would the federal government have a regulator who is advocating for the education of inner-city schools in digital currency literacy? It's almost like this is just training for central bank digital currencies.
Yeah.
And always has been.
Then we've got another one here, which in a certain way is even more insidious, because this is essentially an extended discussion of how Bitcoin can be used to completely globalize Africa internally.
Yeah.
I mean, they're making the point about the fact that, they don't have enough universal forms of currency or exchange mechanisms or... They don't have a SWIFT-style conduct for digital payments that works both in Nigeria and in the Congo or some nonsense like that. And of course, the answer here is that civilization is incommunicable. So, I don't know. This would be easy enough to go and find if you want to go and read it and horrify yourself with it. But the last element is something that actually comes all the way back to the first article.
Yeah.
Because in it, they mention India's UPI system. Now, we were told, of course, that FedNow is not a CBDC.
Yeah.
However, we know India's UPI system does operate on a digital
rupee,
much like the eNaira system, which when you look in the eNaira system website, it says Central Bank of Nigeria digital currency.
Yeah.
Which, if don't get me wrong, I believe that's CBDC.
Yes.
As is this system. So here's just this little statement from 2019 that Google wants US Federal Reserve to follow India's UPI example and build FedNow. So
that's exactly what they've done as well.
So it is a CBDC then.
It basically just goes into the fact that, where is it? Talk about here. The weird dancing around here is really, really funny. Because they talk about the fact that UPI is not a digital ruble. But it is a digital ruble. But it's not a digital ruble. But it is a digital ruble.
It's a rupee.
Sorry, digital rupee. Ah, rupee, sorry. I kept thinking I was mixing that up with something else. It's just
curry coin going through the roof.
Curry coin. But yeah, the...
Nan coin.
The UPI system has been explicitly advertised as a stepping stone to digital currency. It is it posited itself on the idea that the digital rupee and the digital payment system will become one and the same once cash is done away with.
Yes.
And this is the model that...
Well, scroll down, look at the next paragraph. Yeah. You know, according to Asokan PwC, digital payments in India will more than double in 2023 from 64.8 billion this year, the compound annual growth. So basically what they're saying is, in short order, there will be no physical rupees in India anymore. People will only use these. Google said that after learning its lessons from the India digital payments market, Google learned its lessons.
Yeah.
Is this going to be another one of these ones, if we go digging deep enough, we're going to find Google, much like Facebook, who was involved in, what was the program that we looked at while we were on AA stream? It was the Facebook tools for, that got consequently blamed for like the genocide in Myanmar and stuff like that.
Yes, I believe it might be a similar thing, because these places cannot build their own infrastructure.
But this is essentially an admittance here that Google worked with the Brahmin weirdos to develop the digital credit system, which they already argued back in 2016 was environmental because it didn't require the printing or the production of money.
Yeah.
They also argue it as an anti-corruption measure.
They do, yes.
Here's one I reckon would be interesting. Can you imagine a sort of revival of the... Oh, not Occupy Democrats. Who was the thing that... Cenk Uygur used to be a part of, that was all about getting, like, you know, corporate money out of Democratic Party, whatever it was. These sort of anti-corruption movements, though. I could very much imagine some form of, you know, Republican anti-corruptionist movement headed by Dinesh D'Souza, who runs around arguing how, well, if you made sure all the lobbyists used Fed now, we would have a more accountable democracy.
Well, the entire argument of the UPI system and the argument for the transition to the digital rupee is there is no difference between an instantaneous digital payment system and the digital rupee.
Mm.
They are posited as one and the same, whereas prior to the arrival of the payment system, they are posited as being different, completely separate, and any association between them is seen as like wacko conspiracy stuff.
Mm.
They are doing the both ends of it again. As we talked about during our demobilization stream, they will create separate laws in separate places, and they will accuse you of being conspiratorial when you point out that they are interoperable, that you can, you know, that a frictionless payment system and a digital currency are two things that are meant to achieve the same goal, which is the complete centralization of the process of payment into like the central bank of a government.
Hmm.
And to do away with the fake layers of like retail bank stuff and the fake layers of essentially of a market. We are, as I keep talking about during these financial streams now, we are seeing the abandonment of even the illusion of a marketplace. We've had an illusory marketplace since the 70s, really, since the abandonment of, again, a fig leaf of a gold standard. We're now abandoning the fig leaf of market, where a government... You will just work. You will be given what they think, you know, you need to have for your minimum infrastructure. You'll get your stimmies. You'll get your relief. And that is how you will subsist. It is, I hate to say literal communism, but it is, it's literal communism. It's communism, folks. But not even in like an aesthetic way. We don't even have like a strongman. We don't have good propaganda. All we have is, you know, DMVification of communism. It's like DMV communism. It's as terrible as that sounds. All you're gonna get is the Air Jordans checks in the hood. You're not gonna get the Red Army choir.
It's like communism in the way that it's not even careful or, you know, create some sort of conciliatory program that's constructive otherwise. It is just destructive to its roots.
It doesn't have like the weird Faustian metaphysics, it just has the raw managerialism, and that's what it is.
Yeah,
it's a very good elucidation that managerialism is managerialism, a total state is a total state, and there really is no difference, no matter what you call it. In fact, what you call it and the ideology behind it is completely meaningless. It is the practical reality of a small, insular group of increasingly incompetent and creaky elites trying to govern a mass that they are trying to turn into this indivisible Homo economicus unit, where you are quite literally just a faceless pod person who is from nowhere, believes in nothing, and has nobody.
Just imagine the sound of thousands of pairs of acrylic nails rattling on keyboards forever and ever and ever.
Once again, thank you to everyone who's donated. You've been quite generous this stream.
Indeed.
I don't know, our numbers seem to fluctuate wildly between what we do, but it always seems to level out in the pod.
I don't know, unless everybody's watching A's weird Ric Flair 8-hour montage or whatever's going on.
I'm not really sure. I don't really worship the algorithm. We do what we do, and people show up when they show up. So thank you guys. You guys have been, you've been a wonderful audience. But no, it's always good to see the chat rate be quite high, people giving good contributions.
And as mentioned last week for those, or is it, as mentioned Monday for those who didn't quite catch it, we are of course not going forward with the Nomos event through some unforeseen circumstances that we can't really deal with. So we are giving everyone a refund who's purchased a ticket, unless of course the ask is otherwise. I actually had two more people today do so. If they want, or if for some reason you want to funnel your ticket purchasing money to us and support what we're doing and help us cover the costs we incurred trying to set up the event, that's greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
And I would hope probably by at the latest this time next week, we should be able to update everyone on what's happening over the course of the weekend. It would have been Nomos, but will now be a bit of an unofficial thing.
We already have like stuff that we've left booked,
yeah,
just to make sure that there will be activities for people to do. So the meal on the Fridays,
right? I think someone else has sent us a PayPal one. If you want to quickly check that before we go.
Sure. I will actually make sure I'm on there. Sorry, I usually have my phone here, but it's over there charging. I was going to check before the end, but thank you for reminding me. I don't think we've had one come in.
All right, fair enough. Has that not come through yet?
No, I'm afraid not. But any ones that we miss, I will make sure that they get read out on
the next one. Is Mr. Not Sure anyway, who is a member, so I'm sure we can probably read his thing out next week when we start.
Yes, thank you all for your donations. Again, it does keep us running. Thank you for everyone who checks out the Substack. We do still get traffic over there, though we've not put anything out for a while. Like I said, there is still... Oh, I did get it last week, yes.
Ah, right.
So I think I did read that out. Yes, I did get that. Thank you very much. I'm a little bit reticent sometimes to read stuff out because I'm not quite sure what people want read out and what they don't with those donations. I do put a note on if you want a comment read out for your PayPal stuff. But once again, thank you all for your support. Thank you for all your generous comments. And like I said, there will be more written content. I just need to finish it.
And we'll see you on Monday.
Yes, we'll see you on Monday.
Have a good weekend, all.
Yep. Have a good evening.